Jazz music brings so much love and light into the world. And in Atlanta, we are truly fortunate to have WCLK 91.9 FM, the jazz of the city.
Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, where we zone in on Black and Brown relations and our journey to empowering our communities.
A gem of Clark Atlanta University, my alma mater, WCLK has been a treasure in Atlanta for decades. And today, my guest is Deb Moore, who has been a devoted steward of the station for many years. As host of Jazz at Sundown and Sunday Jazz Suite, Deb keeps our spirits full with this incredible music. Deb and I are talking today all about jazz and the phenomenal artists who create this amazing music.
Hi, Deb. It's great to have you on the Empowerment Zone.
Well, good afternoon, or should I say good midday? Thank you. How you doing, beautiful?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. Excited that you accepted my invitation to be on the show.
Well, you know what? First of all, I think I mentioned to you that I am just honored. I am so proud of you.
Thank you.
For this whole platform that you have created and nurtured and developed for yourself, because I remember you talking about it and now you are living it. So, you know, for you to reach out to me, thank you. I am just absolutely honored. I really am. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. For our audience, who I'm sure is absolutely delighted to hear about you, since you're always interviewing other people, now you get to be interviewed. So before we begin talking about your topic and being a host and MC on one of the great radio stations in Atlanta, WCLK, can you give our audience a little background about yourself, some personal and professional information?
Yes. Well, first of all, I'm a child of God. I'm his daughter. And I am every day, every second, every hour, every month, every year of my entire life, especially at this point, just grateful and so thankful for the Master's mercy and grace. You know, I am his daughter. And with being his daughter, I am also the daughter of Moselle Moore, my beloved mother, and my father, Patrick Moore, the both of them. And it was from my mother, though, specifically, that instilled in me just a love of art and culture and reading and jazz music and going after your dreams. And it was really Mom who told me that I could fly, if that makes any sense.
Yep.
You know? And when we would sit around the kitchen table at home when I was younger, and of course I'm a talker, and I would just talk, talk to Mom. She would just turn and she would look and she would say, "You talk so much." And I said, "I do." And she says, "Well, you know, you've got something to say. You're interested in the world. You know, there are people who wonder about the world. There are people who watch the world go by, but you want to be engaged in living." And that coming from her to me meant a great deal. She was an educator. She was an English teacher. Thus, you get what you got. She was a counselor. She read all of the time. We would sit and talk about Nina Simone, who was from North Carolina, which is where my people are from. We would talk about all of the artists then that I would listen to in the living room, really. And I knew it was really great music, but of course, I was digging Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5 and the Osmond Brothers. Let's be real clear about that. You know, I was there. But in the living room, I heard Nina Simone, Town Hall concert. I heard Frank Sinatra. I heard Sarah Vaughan. I heard Ella Fitzgerald. I heard these people and I was like, what is she listening to? I heard Billie Holiday, you know? And I was like, what in the world is all of this about? And we would talk a little about it, but it just didn't click with me, you know? It didn't click. And little did I know that God would have it in his plan for part of my journey to do what I am doing. Because, you know, doctor, I think it takes a certain sensibility when it comes to being a vessel like I am for and about the culture of jazz music. I am not a musician, but I have a certain sensibility that when I think about it now, I go all the way back to Mosey, which is what I called my mom, that clicks right now. When I talk with people like your husband, Terrion Gully, a great, great drummer in the tradition of many people and other jazz musicians, I get it. You know, I get it. And I'm able to get it. And at the same time, hopefully, with the skill and the earned work that I've done, put it back, express it back to an audience in an effort to help them understand it clearer and get it. So that when you look at the big circle of just enjoying great jazz music and good music and a certain quality of life, you know how to connect the dots. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's where I am. So that's part of who I am. I am my mother's daughter. I am a daughter of God. And I'm just Deb. I'm every woman. Just trying to, you know, kick the can up the road and keep it moving, as they would say.
Yeah, and it's so important to acknowledge our parents who play such a significant role in our development. And to hear about the role of your mama, Moselle, is that correct? Moselle?
Yes.
And how little would you know that, or little did you know that her exposing you to this music, exposing you to reading, and exposing you to the icons of jazz would prepare you for the work that you do now.
Because, you know, it's funny because once more sitting at the table talking to mom, we were watching television and I saw this beautiful woman. She was Black and her prototype looked like me. But I saw this beautiful woman. Her name is and was, because I don't know if she's still with us, but her name was Michelle Holden. And she was a newscaster. And she was giving information. And she was beautiful. She was articulate. She was intelligent. And she was bright. And I was looking at her. And I said to my mother, I said, you know what, Mom? That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. And mom said, you can do anything. That's what my mom told me. She said, you can do anything that you want. You can, and we had this big conversation and I believed her. I believed her, you know? And so my journey started, you know, going to college, earning my degree in journalism, being on the debate team, participating in the Miss Black Atlanta pageant and winning, and really going on to Miss Black America in Washington, D.C. I mean, mom told me that I could do that. She told me that, and I did, you know? So There it is. That's it.
Now, that is a little known Black history fact. I didn't know you were Miss Black Atlanta.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I've got the receipts. As the young people say, I've got receipts.
Well, congratulations. Getting to compete in the Miss Black America. I know at one point in time, particularly during the 70s, it was a big, big deal in early 80s. But I remember during the 70s in particular, it was a big deal because I can remember always watching it when I was very, very young in elementary school.
And you know, I tell you, it's one of the highlights, really, when I sit right now and think back on it, because to be around all of these beautiful Black women, and we weren't just beautiful physically, we were beautiful from the inside out because these ladies had it going on. Now, they were smart, okay? They were articulate. They had it together, you know? And the pageant, mine was held in Washington, D.C., the Miss Black America pageant in Washington, D.C. That's my phone. And it was a wonderful experience to sit around at night and talk and pick up the tone and the vibe of these other women that had just as much going on as I did, you know? And it was really an honor. When I look back at those pictures, I just kind of smile to myself and say, wow, you know, you made it there. Mm-hmm. You know, it was really a nice experience. And I also have to add too, that I was Miss Right On. Do you remember the Right On magazine?
Yes, definitely.
Remind me, Ramona. Remind me to show you that picture. That's Miss Right On at 17.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, I have to show it to you because, you know.
Right On was big. That was, like I said, that was big too. That was,
that's right. Right On magazine.
Yep.
And well, I remember it.
Congratulations on both of those.
So it was all of those, it was all of those types of experiences that came from the belief that my mom had in me when she told me, you can do anything you want to do. Now, and I actually believed her.
You believed it. And that's why it's so important to surround yourself with affirming people very early in your life. But not only that if you are a parent, if you are a family member, if you're a friend and you're bringing up a child and raising a child, you have to affirm them and who they are. And that's why parenting is so important. And we know that it's not just the immediate parents that are raising children, but we know how influential aunts and uncles and grandmother and grandfathers and cousins, all of those individuals have an influence on us. And so I appreciate you recognizing your mother, Moselle, and your father well, but in particular, your mother and her role in really framing in your mind and putting in your mind that you could do and be whatever you wanted to do and be.
That I could fly.
Yep, that you could fly. And you are definitely flying. So tell us all about, you are a big advocate of jazz and you are a DJ, a host at WCLK Jazz Radio, which is the radio station, which is hosted at my alma mater, Clark Atlanta University. And so tell us all about your work there and all the people you have come across and the impact that you seek to make as a host of the show.
Okay, well, I'll try to be succinct about that, because when you talk about your alma mater, Clark Atlanta University, it is also mine. How about that? So I can recall being in Kresge Hall as a student on the campus of Clark, And I would listen to 919, 91.9, and I would hear all of this, once again, absolutely incredible music. And at the time, Dr. Howard Myrick was a very important voice on the campus. He was over the mass comm department, I do believe. He was in some type of capacity that was high up. And I remember Dr. Myrick bringing to the campus, because this was under the direction of Dr. Elias Blake, who was the president of Clark College at the time. He was also a jazz devotee. And I recall a program being there. They brought in Dizzy Gillespie. And I was on my way to math class in McPheeters Dennis, but I says, well, you know, class doesn't start until 15, 20 minutes or so. I'm going to bebop around the campus. So I went over to Davidge Auditorium. And when I was walking through Davidge Auditorium, I heard all of this. My ear picked up. And I said, well, what is that? And it went, and I said, well, and I, so being the curious person that I am, I peeped my head through the doors of Davidge Auditorium, and they were setting up, they were doing mic checks. And this person, who turned out to be Dizzy Gillespie, he had on a pair of plaid pants and this striped shirt. Okay. And I sneaked in and I sat down in the seat. And I kind of sunk myself in the seat because I was not supposed to be there, but I was going to be there, right? And I sunk down into the seat. And when Dizzy Gillespie came out on stage and picked up this trumpet that was sort of turned up, you know, and he blew into the trumpet, his jaws went into blowfish. And I sat up in my seat and I said, oh my God, what is this? I thought someone was coming to get me because I had never seen that before. And come to find out, it was this world famous musician named Dizzy Gillespie. And I went and told Dr. Howard Myrick all about it. And he was like, oh, that's how he laughed. And we talked about it. And he says, you like jazz music. And I says, well, I guess so. And it just sort of started growing from there, because then he brought Winton and Branford and Mr. Marcellus to the campus. They were doing a tour, and it just started growing from there. So when I graduated from Clark, I still had echoes, obviously, of that music in my mind, but I had to go find a job. And so I went into the hospitality industry, and everyone to this day will tease me and say, all you talked about was jazz music. How you were going to They still tease me because now I'm doing it. And I got an opportunity. I was working at Atlanta City Hall as a legislative aide for several council people. And I was doing overnights at WCLK, which was an extremely strenuous, hard, and very, you know, crazy schedule. And then I got the opportunity from Dr. Gloria Walker, who at that particular point became the dean of the mass communications department, and WCLK fell under her jurisdiction. And things were changing at CLK, and I literally went to her and said, I'd like to have an opportunity. There are absolutely no females on air, let alone playing jazz music. And I would like to have that opportunity. And she offered it to me, and I took it, and I ran with it. And the rest was history, because I did the thing, you know. And that's how everything began for me, because with this music, as you know, you have to, once again, have a certain sensibility And then you have to get to study so that you know what you're doing. Because one of the things that I noticed with this music was the fact that many people were just unfamiliar with its sound. And because they were unfamiliar with its sound, anything could just be played and called jazz music. Mm-hmm. And it took someone such as myself to connect the dots in terms of putting that music together and making it appealing for a listening audience to say, oh, wow, I like that. But that meant I had to do some studying. I had to go from the very beginning, Buddy Bolden, and from the very beginning and start my climb and deal with all of the noise that was in between the steps of that climbing. And that's what I did, you know?
So I didn't know that you were actually an alum of Clark Atlanta University, and to actually be able to give back and work through your role at WCLK, I'm sure is quite an honor. Looking at WCLK, what do you think is the uniqueness of this particular radio station when it comes to music and their role in the community?
Well, I think the uniqueness of our station, 91.9 FM WCLK, is the fact that for many of my formative years as a radio personality, because it has shifted somewhat at this point, but for many of my formative years, the uniqueness of the station was being able to present to a listening audience a different sound of music. It was not wonderful R&B. It was not exquisite gospel music. It was not, you know, extremely enjoyable pop music. It was jazz music, you know? And you don't hear it everywhere. And when I say jazz music, I'm talking about people like Louis Armstrong and, you know, Sonny Rollins and Sarah Vaughan and Abby Lincoln and Miles Davis and Dee Dee Bridgewater and Grover Washington Jr. and, you know, Chaka Khan, if you will. And so many of those voices that were known, but not known greatly to our community, you know, to the Black community. And I think the uniqueness of being able to pull together Dinah Washington, you know, and Ernestine Anderson, and Max Roach, and Oscar Peterson. I mean, all of these people, and put it to an audience, Nancy Wilson, you know, Lee Morgan. These are not just names. These were human beings. These were people that had breath in their bodies. And Nina Simone, and the uniqueness of WCLK to put forth, you know, those voices, Bobby Timmons, to an audience was just awesome. You know, I stand on the shoulders, as you know, of some of those fellas that were there, and they laid it down. And I think that was the uniqueness of WCLK radio, being able to play the breath much of the much of the breadth of jazz music as we know it then. It's shifted, you know, but that was the uniqueness, you know, that was the uniqueness. And then being able to, you know, create this bond between the listening audience and the music, mm-hmm. and hear people talk about this music and the impact and the influence, literally, that it made and had on their lives. Mm-hmm. It's just really, I tell you, it's just been something else for me.
Yes, WCLK 91.9 definitely is a unique place and has done, as you so eloquently stated, has done a lot to expose jazz music and celebrate jazz music, as well as the wonderful icons who produced this music,
which you named
so many. Mm-hmm. So looking at your role as a radio personality, what do you want to be your biggest legacy?
Oh, wow. I think that I would hope and be honored if and when God allows me to continue to organize all that I've done, place it on social media so that people can refer back to it, if you will. And the fact that I have been able to create a platform through the interviews that I have done throughout the years with literally some of the world's greatest artistic voices, giving them or offering them an opportunity to, you know, open up their thoughts verbally. They hear it on in their instrument, yes, mm-hmm. and they may see it with a particular painting, or when I interviewed the great Gordon Parks, you saw it in his photography. But to hear them, Sonny Rollins, when I sat with Mr. Rollins, Mr. Marcellus, but to hear them open their mouth and talk about why, mm-hmm. why they do what they do, especially during the time that they have come up doing it, when there were opposing forces not wanting them to do it, but they had to do it anyway. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Me being able to have a platform to connect with them, to give them their opportunity to talk to the audience or get out with, that has been, oh boy, that has been an honor for me, just an honor, and part of the legacy that I would hope to leave, you know, just good jazz conversations that play up to people's sensibilities, as opposed to poking them where their low parts are or low points are, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yes, it makes total sense. Having great jazz, leaving a legacy of great jazz conversation. You said
you,
it perfectly.
You hear what I'm talking about.
You said it perfectly. And your work, in, as you explained, in providing a platform for these iconic artists to come and talk about their work, talk about their whys, talk yes. about their music, I'm sure is and will be an incredible legacy. So if you, the audience, want to hear some great jazz conversation, make sure you check out Deb Moore on WCLK 91.9.
During the Jazz Suite on Sundays from 11 a.m. in the morning until 4 p.m. And then, of course, I'm on during the week, Monday through Friday, from 6 to 10. Boy, I tell you, that's all I do, huh?
and those times are Eastern Standard Time.
Yes, ma'am.
Wonderful to have you. So, Deb, we always end our interviews with our guests telling us a strategy for college success. So I know you stated it in the beginning, but could you tell us the college or colleges you attended and what were your majors and degree or degrees? And then follow it up with that one piece of advice you would give students to make sure they're successful in college.
Okay, sure. I attended Clark College, which is now Clark Atlanta University. I earned my degree in broadcast journalism. I commenced to work on my master's degree in education and have yet to finish it, but I am going to do it. Some of the advice or offer thoughts that I would say to people, young people in particularly, wanting to attend secondary, you know, education, is to want to be there. Want to be there, first of all. Because if you want to be there, all of those distractions that will pop up, and they will indeed pop up, you will be able to push them to the side and focus on why it is you are there and do your job. So the first piece is to want to be there, not because your mother or your father wants you there, or your aunt or your uncle or your sister or your brother, but because you want to be there. And when you do get there, you know, make good friends with one or two good people, because they will serve you well as you move along your journey in life, I guarantee you. Pledge a sorority, pledge a fraternity, whatever it is that's going to give you some type of platform that's going to create a village around you, because you're going to need it, you know? And then just really, you know, all of the wonderful extracurricular activities, like going to see the choir during the holiday season, or if there's a jazz voice that comes to the campus for a concert, take the time to go check them out. It may not be hip hop, which is okay, don't get me wrong, but take the time to broaden your horizons, because when you come out here into the world, you'll be, you know, a global citizen in terms of the way you think, because we're now a global world, you know? And if you can expose yourself to that type of thing early, you will be fitted better down the road in terms of being comfortable with who you are as time goes on. And I just say, go for it, you know, be organized, you know, and go for it. But want to be there would be my biggest piece. I see a lot of young people on the campus even today. They don't want to be there. And sometimes I wonder why they are, because they could be doing something else with their time that is more fruitful. So first, want to be there. And when you want to be there, all of this other support the universe will put in front of you and will help you reach your goal. So that's what I'd have to say.
Thank you so much for that great advice, Deb. Want to be there. A lot of people are in college because their mom or their dad said they should be there, or they went because a friend went, but you've got to want to be there in order to excel in college. Mm-hmm. And also it will help you to limit the distractions, as Deb has explained. Make sure, other great advice she gave is make sure you establish affirming and develop affirming relationships. Create your own little village of support. Mm-hmm. Participate in extra extracurricular activities and events that broaden your horizon. As she stated, we live in a global society and exposure is key to success. And lastly, go for your dreams. Thank you so much, Deb Moore, for joining us on the Empowerment Zone. We really enjoyed having you as our guest today.
Well, you know what? Thank you, Doctor, for reaching out to me again. I appreciate it so much. You've got my number and I've got yours. And if I don't have a chance to talk with you before the first of the year, because I know you're busy and all of that great stuff, happy holidays to you and Terrion. And God bless the both of you. And just let people know that when you support jazz, you support yourself. So support yourself and listen to good quality jazz music. You can hear it on 91.9 WCLK, and particularly on Sundays when you check into the jazz suite from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. with yours truly, Deb Moore. And I just appreciate the big musical ears, you know? Thank you. And God bless everybody. And happy holidays. And as we move into 2022, I know that it's going to be healthier and brighter and, you know, more organized for all of us. And that's a good thing.
A special thank you to the incredible team of the Empowerment Zone. Terrion Gully, theme song, NADWORKS, digital support, and of course, our featured guest.
If you enjoyed my podcast, please subscribe. We are on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts too. Thank you for your continued support.